Just a quick word from our sponsor before we jump into today's episode. Optimizing your internal processes can often be a huge unlock for streamlining revenue and getting you and your team, if you have one, out of a manual process. If you're looking to reduce costs and headaches in one fell swoop, consider graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere, and you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all of your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Everything seems to be more expensive these days, so proven ways to cut costs and boost performance at the same time, like NetSuite, are kind of a no-brainer. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/SPI. netsuite.com/SPI. Once again, netsuite.com/SPI. And now a quick word from our sponsor before we start the show. Ready to earn sustainable income while creating the work you're passionate about? Get started with Memberful. Whether you teach online courses, host a podcast, run a blog, or write a newsletter, Memberful has all the tools you need to unlock revenue and deeply connect with your audience through subscription membership. Their platform allows you to easily gate content, communicate with your audience, and tier membership access directly on your own website. Plus, with Memberful, there's no need to change your workflow. They work seamlessly and integrate with the tools you already use, including MailChimp, Discord, Zapier, ConvertKit, Google Analytics, and more. Utilize their powerful built-in features and dashboards and watch your business grow. The best part? Memberful gives you full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, and your business. Get started for free at memberful.com/SPI. One more time, that's memberful.com/SPI. This is the Smart Passive Income Podcast with Pat Flynn, session number 277. You got this.
Welcome to the Smart Passive Income Podcast, where it's all about working hard now so you can sit back and reap the benefits later. And now your host. Before he goes to bed, he asks himself, who have I served today? Pat Flynn.
Our sponsor today is Uplift Desk, creators of office furniture designed to help you work better and live healthier. If you're like most entrepreneurs, you probably spend a lot of time sitting. Well, a standing desk can make a huge difference. It's actually a complete game changer. If you haven't tried one before, this offer from Uplift is for you. Plus, you can support the show at the same time. Visit UpliftDesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. Over a million customers have chosen Uplift Desk. Innovative product designs, reasonable pricing, same-day shipping, free accessories with every desk. You can see why they're such a big hit. Standing while I work helps me get the creative juices flowing, helps me focus and stay productive, and I'm way more alert when I'm standing. And Uplift is a great deal. An industry-leading 15-year warranty, free shipping, free return shipping if you need to do that. And they provide a state-of-the-art experience. They're stable, made of very solid materials, and there are over 100 desktop choices and customizations available. Go to upliftdesk.com/SPI for 5% off your order. That's UPLIFT desk.com/SPI to get 5% off your entire order. What up, everybody? Pat Flynn here. Thank you so much for joining me in this session of the Smart Passive Income Podcast. Actually, this is a special session. This is actually a coaching call with a woman named Amy Torres, who had emailed me not too long ago saying that, you know, she's 60 plus years old and that, you know, she's been trying to do this thing for a while, blogging, creating an online product, that sort of thing. And she should just probably give up and claim her Social Security benefits. And, you know, I wanted to come on and inspire her and coach her through a lot of what she was going through. But then through the conversation, I had this idea of, hey, maybe we can share this with others too, because I know there's other people out there who may be struggling or thinking similar things. And after the call, she said, hey, let's share this. So I'm so excited that she allowed all of us to hear this. So Amy, thank you so much for being you and for continuing to go through the process. And a lot of you will hear that she's actually already experiencing a little bit of success now through the validation process of her course and what she's up to, and you'll hear all about it now. And I just wanted to give you some inspiration and something a little bit different today. So here she is. This is Amy Torres on a coaching call with me, and I hope you enjoy.
So tell me about where you're at, and you know, I'm here to help you. So why don't you help me help you by kind of introducing yourself a little bit more to me and what you've been up to and kind of what you're struggling with.
Okay, because from the time that we first arranged this coaching call until now, a lot has happened.
Oh, okay. Good things, I hope.
Yeah, all good things, yeah. Good. One thing that I just want to say, I've probably said it before, but in person, Pat, somehow I discovered you years ago. Maybe it was 2009, if that's possible, but definitely around 2011 or 12. Is that possible?
I think so. I was looking back in our email archive, sort of conversations that we've had, and I saw emails from you come in all the way dating back to, where is it? Let me look you up here really quick. It goes all the way back to 2012. The first time you added me on Google Plus was December 1st, 2012. So I think maybe that's when you first found me.
Yeah, that sounds right, because I actually launched my first e-course in 2013 without knowing anything.
Okay.
But I was drawn to you, and I think that was through my intuition, which is pretty impeccable. And the course that I'm now putting the finishing touches on is called Tune Out Ego, Tune Intuition. Thank you. Because somewhere along the way, somebody said, notice what you take for granted in yourself, what's very obvious to you, mm-hmm. and assume that that is not obvious to everybody else. And so I've been having, well, first I just want to finish my thank you and say I've loved your work since the beginning. You were at that point where you were just starting to post your income and your earnings, and you were telling us about your own journey, and I found that so trustworthy.
Thank you.
Yeah, that I followed you ever since, even though I haven't checked in really until now.
Yeah, I mean, it just always makes me smile to hear how people have found me and then why they continue to follow me. So I appreciate that so, so much. Amy, thank you.
You're welcome. And I guess it really shows that it's great to let people stay on your list. You know, me too, because somebody who first signed up in 2014, who I really never heard from, signed up for my course, you know, 3 years later. So
that's really cool. So, I mean, that's a very common thing. You know, sometimes it takes people months or even years to finally get to the point at which they're able to then transact with you. It might be for financial reasons. It might be just a mental block that they finally got over, or something happened in their life that you don't even know about that could have triggered it. So it's great that you're always continually, I mean, it seems like you're doing the right thing with building your list and keeping in contact with them and not essentially just weeding people out if they don't sort of interact with you.
Yeah. So I launched this course in 2013, decided that I wanted to try doing an online business without knowing anything, because I had moved from New York to Florida, gotten a great deal on a house, but there were no jobs. Hmm. And I had a private practice as a Gestalt psychotherapist in New York City. And you have to be licensed in a new state, and I was interested in becoming free of all that and being an educator. Hmm. I had, in the meantime, become an ordained minister, and so then I was a spiritual counselor, but different states have funny rules about using the word counselor. So I felt like I'd have a lot more freedom as an educator, and I had been teaching from a book called A Course in Miracles. Some people are very familiar with it. And my e-course in 2013 was supporting the workbook practice of A Course in Miracles.
Got it.
I made some Facebook pages devoted to A Course in Miracles, and I made one specifically for the workbook. And out of just posting organically about that, I got 40 signups my first year, no paid advertising, or very, very little, inconsequential. But in the following years, 2014, 15, and 16, maybe I got 10 people. And people would approach me for scholarships. And being a minister, I would give anybody a scholarship who needed it. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't earning me a living. I finally produced a book. I'd been dying to write a book. And I have a history as a writer, even an advertising copywriter, and then a journalist at Adweek magazine and other related industry magazines back in the 90s. So I finally came out with a book called Sweet Dreams of Awakening, 365 Goodnight Blessings. And it's a very beautiful book. but it's a book of blessings. And I feel that I have books in me to write. So one thing that I really am enthusiastic about is writing. And I also feel like a natural teacher. And something that's difficult for me is social media. I feel very warm and friendly towards people, but I'm definitely on the introvert side of things. I recharge in private. And when I try to build authority in Facebook groups, forget it. I'm just not feeling it. I get overloaded. And sort of in a leap of desperation and enthusiasm in the fall of 2016, I signed up for a pricey class on e-courses, and then that led to a class on coaching, how coaching is the most direct route to getting clients and making money, and I felt that I really needed money at that point. But I couldn't really get with that coaching class. I was a little burnt out on coaching. And then I signed up for one on producing ebooks. And then I went on a binge of courses, sort of like courses were going to save me from actually having to do the work or something. So one thing that's really hard for me is overwhelmed with choices. And I'm noticing that I really learn by doing. So I'll jump in the middle and just start to do something. So I signed up for your Smart from Scratch course, and I got to lesson 5 or something, and then I just had enough. I really have had a hard time with research, you know, and I've tried. I've gone into, of course, Google and Google AdWords and Amazon, and that's where the buyers are, and Reddit and Quora. And finally, I realized I think what's best is just to see what my competitors are doing, who I also consider my colleagues. They already have the audience. They already have the proven product. Why can't I just lift the people that they're talking to and some of the key pain points that they're addressing and just put them in my own words? So that's what I started to do.
Okay. And tell me where you're at now. I mean, where is your head at? Are you still feeling overwhelmed, or are you getting any clarification or direction with kind of where you're going?
So I'm getting some clarification. Another thing that was really difficult for me, Pat, was reinventing myself. I felt that I was being asked by all my mentors, who are you? What do you have to offer? What are the results you can deliver? And who is your avatar? And that kind of threw me for a loop, because in my spiritual life, it had been about erasing my identity. So I was getting very clear of identity. And then this was all about identity.
Right. I mean, those are very common questions to ask when you get into marketing, right? Because you want to know who to target and who to talk to and how to talk to them. But I think before that, and the question I think, you know, going back to reinventing yourself is you know, the question I want to ask you is, what do you want? You know, before you start serving others, I think it's important to understand, and this is where the beginning stages of Smart from Scratch come into play, which is very much a look inward first before you look outward. Have you gone through those exercises like the airport exercise and the history test? And were there any discoveries coming out of that?
I definitely did them, and I appreciated them. And I agree, it was all an inside job. And I also had done some reaching out to others, you know, what do you see as my strengths and things like that. The thing was that my strengths seemed to be I was empathic. I was a really good listener. I could hold a space for people to pour things out and then find their own inner wisdom. And these were things, it was hard for me to find the results of what I do. As I guess a psychotherapist and then a coach. So what I'm realizing is I help people be true to themselves. I really enjoy helping people finish their childhoods so they can enjoy their adulthood. In other words, form themselves as a person, gain the integrity that they can speak up and say what they need to say, assert themselves. And my people really tend to be codependent people. A hardcore term might be love addicts, you know, caretakers. A lot of them are women, but not always. But what I really love, my passion, is this spiritual unfolding, discovering that what we are is beyond just the individual personal self.
Right.
But that may not be something I market. I'm just...
I mean, that could be the result of a session with you or something else that you offer. I mean, that could be the outcome of it. But I think in terms of, you know, what it is that you offer, we have to go back to that question a little bit of, you know, well, who is it that you want to serve first? And I think, you know, I feel like you might be somebody who is looking to try and help as many people as possible, right? Which we all want to do, right? We want to try and serve as many people as possible. But in order to do that, sometimes we have to really narrow down who it is that we're going to serve first. So if I had to challenge you to select a kind of market, and let's not even talk about market, let's just say, like, where would you start with if you had your choice without worrying about how to market to them? If you could market to anybody, if you could find a certain kind of person to help in the way that you know how you can help them. And I love that you found what your kind of superpowers were based on what other people said and kind of aligning that with what you know you can do. I mean, that very much to me speaks like a coach. I mean, that's something that a coach can offer, and you can coach in anything, right? So going back to that question, like, if you had your choice without worrying about the marketing part of it, who would you choose to help?
Yeah, this is where I get very quiet.
Why do you feel like you're quiet? Like, what is going through your brain right now when you kind of have to choose something?
I don't know how this sounds, Pat, but I don't care who I work with. I feel like I'm a magnet, and whoever comes into my sphere, I am there to help that person.
What kind of people do you feel are attracted to you?
Well, as I said, codependent people. If that's too broad a term, people who are not fully formed inside yet, people who really want to claim their life but are afraid to, people who take themselves for granted and don't even quite realize how much they take themselves for granted, and then people who want to awaken spiritually. So I, over the years, I built up an email list of 2,000.
Nice.
And I put out this intuition pilot idea to the whole list.
Mm-hmm.
And I allowed 23 people into my pilot, which I've been told is maybe a lot. Maybe I should have kept it to 12 or 15. But I felt like I needed more people. I needed to feel the enthusiasm and the energy of an audience to find out more about Sure. who my people are.
Totally, totally.
And it turns out that I got 21 women and 2 men. And I feel energized having men in the group. I don't see myself as only teaching women. Not at all. Even though women tend to, you know, show up for these things, which is great. I love women, but I like having the male energy in the room. So, you know, some women, they're very into the divine feminine and all of that. But that's not me.
And so this is a pilot program that you launched when?
Tomorrow is my first class.
Oh, so you just recently launched it. Tell me about, okay, how did you go about actually saying that this was going to happen? I'd love to get your idea, like, just walk me through how you actually presented this and what you did to gather these people.
I first posted 3 choices on Facebook, as a mentor of mine suggested, Amy Porterfield. And she just said, you got to do it. It's, you know, stop messing around, procrastinating. So I put
up 3. So she got to you before I got to you, is what you're saying. Because I was... I love Amy. Amy, as you know, is a good friend of mine. So I'm going to message. I didn't know that you guys had a relationship together. I'm going to message her immediately after this call and joke with her, because we're always like competing against each other kind of in a friendly fashion. We're both working on, you know, this live video studio right now. She's like, mine's going to be better than yours. And I'm like, no, mine's going to be better than yours. So she's going to have a laugh that, you know, she had already given you some great advice since the last time we've sort of connected via email. So I'm glad to hear that. I want to go to that moment. She gave you that advice. What was your initial reaction when she gave you that advice to just do it?
Relieved. I was so relieved. And this was in group coaching calls, Pat. So I don't mean to, you know, say that I'm a personal friend of Amy's, but I would say to her sometimes from one Amy to another, you know. And I haven't showed up in her class for a while because I've been busy doing this. So, you know, she gave us a time frame, and I would confess to her in a group coaching call, like, you know, I'm 2 days away from the deadline and I'm not doing anything. And she basically said, like, go to Canva, write down 3 things, put it on your Facebook wall. And I did it.
What were those three things?
The three things were relationships, developing better boundaries with people. Uh-huh. The second thing was money. It's irresponsible not to be a millionaire. I was really talking to myself, but I thought it was a great line.
That is a good line.
Because there was so much upset about, you know, who has the money. And I'm like, if you don't like who has the money, then in this day and age, you have an opportunity to get the money. So do you want a class on that? And the third one was tune out ego, tune intuition. Now, because I've been teaching A Course in Miracles for 15 years, most of my Facebook friends are spiritual people on spiritual paths. And so, I got double the amount for the intuition course, but I also felt that I got enough interest in the other two that it was politically incorrect for them to admit, you know, I want to be a millionaire, so I'll sign up for intuition.
Sure, sure. So this was a single post you posted to your Facebook group that had basically three options, and you said, hey, like, how did you frame the fact that these things were coming out, and did you have a price point to that, or like, what was the call to action?
The call to action was, I'm thinking of making an e-course, help me decide what the topic should be, and then I'll let you know more about it. And I just got nice interaction from people on my page, and honestly, I don't usually have much interaction, so it did very well. And I would come back to it every day and always respond to everybody's comments.
Yeah, I think that's really important. So it's obvious that you spent a lot of time developing this community, getting, you know, these people to know a little bit more about you. Because if you just start a Facebook group and put a whole bunch of people in there and start asking them what course you would want to come out with, you know, you're not going to get that many people to engage. So that's a great sign. You've done a lot of hard work already with building a community and whatnot. And then now you're finally sort of asking them to help you. And I think getting them involved in the process is really important. So, okay, you have an idea now. It's the tune out ego, tune intuition, which is a cool name. And so you are 1 or 2 days from your first class. Before that, tell me about the transaction process, or like what happened after you got this sort of interest for this course.
Okay. So, I could see what everybody else was doing with their email series, and then I signed up. So I was already enrolled in Joseph Michael's Easy Course Creation, and I love him. But I have to confess that I then signed up for CB Lab, which is Danny Eney, and he offers a lot of coaching, and coaching is what I need. So they have, office hours 5 days a week. And by going into those office hours and having face-to-face interaction like I'm having with you, I was getting step-by-step help. So I wasn't just like stuck in the class. And I just would take a series of emails and start to send them to my people. I'm opening this course, you know, who's interested? And, Pat, I first made a 2-minute video, a really cute video, told them a little about it and scooped up both my kitty cats and said, these guys have perfect intuition, you know, and just made it a little personal.
Yeah, and fun. And that's you, right?
Yeah. And it felt so relieving, you know, to not have to be totally professional. And then I love Amy Porterfield's idea about offer a free live webinar and then follow it up. So she kind of said, if I'm getting this right, pitch your webinar for a week before and then keep the card open for 2 weeks after. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I got people into the live webinar. 100 people on my list expressed interest.
Okay.
I think 20 people showed up for the live webinar. And by the end of the 2 weeks, I have 23 people enrolled in the pilot.
Because people saw the replay and you kind of posted about it on Facebook and
I kept checking in with emails, and then I started letting them know gently, there's only this many spots left, it's only going to be available for a few more days. You know, it's a spiritual community, and I don't feel right like giving them the timer with the countdown, but I see other people doing that in my community. It just feels like I want a little bit more of a soft touch.
Sure, and I think that's totally fine. I mean, you can always adopt strategies or not adopt strategies based on who you are and what kind of person you want to be. And my question is, when you had gone through this sort of validation process with your audience, was there any pushback from people? Were there anybody in your audience that was saying anything like, why are you coming out with this course? What's the deal here? Why are you going down this direction?
No pushback.
If you had gotten pushback, how do you think that would have affected what you have done?
I'd have to know what the pushback was, but it felt very organic to me. Like, oh yeah, the Course in Miracles is using Christian terminology. It's saying Holy Spirit, but intuition is actually the same as Holy Spirit. It's just that it feels very natural and like it comes from within. And the Holy Spirit feels sort of lofty, like it's law up there in the sky and you can never reach it. Mm-hmm. So as I started warming to my own subject, which I wasn't even sure about in the beginning, I didn't even quite know why I blurted it out, it started to feel more and more real to me.
Yeah, that's good. Well, that's obviously made a connection. So now you have these 23 people, 21 women, 2 men. You have your first class. What is this class going to be like? Tell me about the structure of it.
Yeah, so tomorrow night it's going to be a Zoom meeting.
Perfect.
And it's going to be live. And I'm thinking that I'm going to give them 10 minutes of information. So I've divided the class into 3 parts.
Okay.
Class 1 is Tune Out Ego. Class 2 is Change the Channel. And Class 3 is Tune into Your Intuition. And so the first class, I'm going to give them some methods to directly experience tuning out ego during the class, maybe 10-minute lumps. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to ask for interaction. How did that go for you? Where are you at? And then delve into the next one. So I thought 90 minutes would be enough for that. I'm very interested to see how many people turn up for it.
Yeah, you always get a smaller percentage of people turning up. I mean, you know this being in my course. I mean, there are hundreds of people in it and maybe 100, if that, show up to the live calls. And, you know, over time, it sort of dwindles down. And so there's going to be some challenges related to that because obviously you want people to come on and be there live with you to interact. So, you know, you'll find different ways to be able to manage that. Are you doing anything outside of the office hours or the class, live webinars to kind of encourage interaction and things like that?
Well, I was thinking week to week, I will then build the class. You know, based on how the class went, I'll use that as a group coaching call in the class, but I'll also, you know, offer a video and a slide deck and some of the things we spoke about. And then I'd like to meet with each of them one-on-one for about 15 minutes to delve deeper,
mm-hmm.
and start to see if there are themes that really support me turning this into a more full-blown class.
What would it take for you to do that?
That's what I'm wondering, because Pat, I have an experience of having successfully launched a class and being respected as an expert in my field,
mm-hmm.
But it never scaled. And now I'm getting a little, you know, nervous thinking, oh, so I'm going to have a successful pilot, but then what if this doesn't scale either? And I feel a little lost at that point, and also, you know, a little concerned that I jump in and do things. The other thing I'm doing right now is writing on Medium and really enjoying that way of blogging because there's such a large audience there. And yet, you know, I don't want to shoot myself in the foot by doing too many things.
Right. I mean, it is obvious to me that that is an issue. And that's not a unique thing to you. That's all of us out there, right? We all have a lot of things that we want to do and we kind of get pulled in all these different directions. A lot of people I know who could potentially listen to this would relate and are probably buying the same amount of courses. And I think being conscious of the fact that, you know, that's not necessarily the right thing to do could just help you and instead focus on the next task. And so for now, your next task is to focus on these students, make it an amazing experience for them, which I know you can do, listen to them, which you said you're a great listener. So they're going to help you create this thing. So it's great. And you've already proven the concept. So you know, this is something people want. So there's no questioning that anymore. When you get to the point at which, you know, your students go through the course, then the challenge becomes, like you said, okay, how do I scale this thing? But always keep in the back of your mind, because I know it can be difficult, especially when you go through another launch and maybe it doesn't go as well, or you're just searching for new exposure, whatever. Always remember that this course is helpful and that it's your responsibility now. I mean, that's how I consider these things. If I have a cure for disease, what would it be if I just didn't put in the effort to try and figure out how to get that into people's hands who had that disease, right? And that's how I want you to approach this, so that when you are met with these challenges, you know that in the back of your mind, you just have to keep going, right? And that it's not the product. It's just the way that you are looking to scale it. And if a particular method doesn't work out, well, then scratch that one off the list and try another one. But it's going to be even better now because you'll have these amazing testimonials. You'll have the energy coming from the success of these students. I feel like you will make the right decisions and not get too involved with, and this is the big worry here, is that, okay, it's time to market this thing. I'm going to buy this marketing course. I'm going to buy this traffic course. I'm going to buy this ads course. Here's the secret. Pick one method that you know could potentially work, and just focus all your effort on that until you get to the point where you've given it a chance. And that's where a lot of people, I'm not saying you, but myself included, everybody, we always try these things and we don't even give them a chance to do what really they each can do because we're dividing our energy everywhere. So I'm so encouraged by the start that you've given yourself. And I would just encourage you to continue to focus on that next task. It's like when I started my online journey, I knew I had to sell an ebook to help people pass an architecture exam, right? But there's so many pieces to that. There's how do I find the people? How do I? What tools do I use to sell this thing? Like how do I do that? How do I collect payments or shopping carts? This all this stuff. But I knew that none of that mattered until I finished the book. So that's all I focused on. And then any learning that you do should only be about that next thing that you're working on. So marketing, yeah, that's going to be a challenge, but don't even worry about that right now. I wouldn't have that get in the way of you serving your students. And I feel like your students are going to be so important to you. And this is why a pilot program is so perfect, because those students become not just your first set of students and your first customers, which is really important, right? But they become the people who will tell you exactly how to market it later, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean them sharing it with their friends. I mean, they will tell you why they bought it and that will influence how you market it, right? Versus mm-hmm. us trying to have to guess now, which is what you have to kind of do when you're doing the pilot, right? You kind of have to guess why people would want it and talk about those points. But here you are, you have students who will tell you why they bought it, what they love about it. And then that's going to influence how you market it. And I think that'll help you scale along the way too. So just a lot, it's a lot more mindset stuff more than anything, as you know. But I'm just so proud of you, actually, because I remember our email exchange together, you had said that you were kind of lost and didn't know where to go. And I'm so thankful that Amy got a hold of you and told you kind of just do it, put it out there. What's the worst that can happen, right? And you're making progress. And I just want to encourage you to keep going. And I'm here for you. And if there's anything I can do right now and any questions that you might want to run by me, I'm here for you. But I just wanted to kind of get all that out and into your head as you progress, because this is really, really cool. I'm super encouraged by this and I hope you are too.
It really, really helps to have successful entrepreneurs who have been through it, like you to actually say to me that I'm doing a good job and stick with it and it's happening, because I had that lag between 2013 and now where it was kind of like inching along, but mm-hmm. not really taking off. And so, but I never took marketing as seriously as I do now.
Yeah.
And coaching helps so much. Knowing people helps so much. And then knowing that you're on the Teachable platform, and CB Lab got me on the Teachable platform as a perk of that program, and that takes some of the figuring things out of it. Mm-hmm. So when you say stick with one method, do you mean, for instance, will it fly? Like just stick with that and pick it back up after I get through my pilot to pick up at the next step?
I mean, honestly, will it fly? You are beyond what will it fly does. You have validated the course. You have launched it. You have customers. That's what will it fly will teach you to do. So don't even worry about will it fly anymore. What I mean by pick one and go with it is, okay, pick a marketing strategy to scale this and focus on that. Whether it's maybe it's Instagram or maybe it's Facebook and you just continue working Facebook, not even using any brain space for anything else but growing your Facebook page, which already has proven itself to work for you. So that's actually where I would start. But then you could utilize something like maybe paid Facebook ads and just focus on that and then learn all about that. And that's the only thing you're going to allow yourself to learn about until you get to the point at which you can make a decision based on numbers and based on experience that, yes, this is going to work for me. I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to invest in it. Or nope, I've tried it. I've given it the real chance it can have. It's not going to work. I'm going to move on to the next one. It's when you start going, okay, I'm going to do Facebook ads and I'm going to do Instagram 3 times a day. And then I'm going to do Twitter 5 times a day. And I'm also going to do a live streaming show 1 time a week. And then I'm going to do podcasting on top of that. That energy spread out across all those things is going to give you nothing. But all that energy into one can give it, whatever it might be, at least a chance. And then you can make real decisions from there versus, you know, what most people do is they spread themselves thin and they say, oh, well, podcasting, I tried it, it's not going to work. So this, I tried that, it's not going to work. Well, it's not working because you're not putting all your energy into it. So that's hopefully going to give you a little bit of guidance in terms of what happens next. But
yes, it does. And so if I focus on Facebook and I continue to speak with them about intuition and approaching spirituality, and, you know, I'm kind of pivoting so that I'm not just A Course in Miracles anymore,
right,
but broadening it into other things, which they're totally open to. Mm-hmm. And I did experiment with Facebook Live a couple of times. Am I doing that on my personal page, Pat, or am I doing that on my public figure page?
So you have a public figure sort of business page, you say?
I do, which I don't use very much. But I've heard that I should.
I mean, you can. There's a lot of sort of this or that kind of thing. If you have a personal page and you are okay sharing and putting this information out about what you do on that page, then I would use your personal page, similar to what Amy Porterfield does, right?
Okay.
However, I also know that she has a page, which she built up over time, and she uses that mainly for, I feel, which is what I'm mainly using it for, is for, you know, advertising, knowing who has said they've already liked your stuff, right? But I would just focus, if you're okay with your personal brand and this being a part of that, then that's where I would focus, and that's where I would do the live streams. That's where I would build your audience and get to know people. What I would really do is again, going back to your initial set of customers, is really ask them at some point, maybe not right away, but maybe after you've worked with them, is to ask them literally, why did you buy this? And why did you buy it from me? And they're going to tell you, like I said earlier, exactly why that's the case. And it might be because of a specific problem they've had. And, you know, you can always dig deeper. And so when you have these 15-minute conversations with them, I would definitely save and reserve 1 or 2 minutes at least to ask this question and dig deep into that. And you might find that people bought from you because of the value you provided on Facebook. I mean, that maybe that's what they say, and they just can feel like they've trusted you and learned how to get to know you, which then tells you what you should continue to do, right?
You know, I actually asked that question in the welcome email after they signed up. Welcomed them and I said, can you tell me briefly what motivated you to buy this class and what you hope to get out of it?
Love it. What did they say?
About half of them wanted to, you know, stop the relentless chatter of the ego. The other half was more into, you know, feeling uplifted into following their inner guidance. And a whole bunch of them said, Amy, we love you. We would buy anything that you teach. We just like you as a teacher.
I love that. Okay. So that's great. I would follow up with those who had said something about that wasn't about you, but something about a problem they had. And I would follow up with them and ask, well, why did you feel compelled to buy this from me when I offered it? And that will give you an insight on, okay, yes, they have this issue and they need help with it, and they, you know, you can provide that solution. But it's going to give you some insight on why you and what you should continue to do. And maybe it's something that's going to turn out to be very similar to what those other people said about you and just the way that you teach. In which case, you know, then it's like, okay, how do I scale up this process of building these kinds of relationships? And Facebook, it seems to be a primary one for you. And using live stream on top of that could be another way to sort of enhance that even more. Because when you're doing any sort of coaching, you know, Shalene Johnson told me this, she said that, you know, live streaming is amazing, especially if you're getting clients for coaching, because essentially what you're doing is you're giving people exactly what they're going to get when they get you for as a coach, right? And you're just doing it on a scalable level live, and it's the real you. And people want to know who they're going to work with before they work with them, right? And live videos are great for that. So, you know, you can experiment with that. That is a Facebook thing that could potentially play a role into sort of future launches. But again, I wouldn't even worry about that right now. The number one thing is treating your students like gold and understanding why they came to you for the solution, but also just making sure that the course is great so that when you come out of it, after the students have gone through, you're going to be so confident in what you have to offer that you're going to be so driven to figure out the right marketing method for it. I think it's when people aren't very confident about the product that they then kind of try to find as many people as they can in all the different spaces to try and get, you know, people in there. And it's only when that confidence comes into play that can you really put in all the energy that you have behind it.
Well, what I'm taking away, many things that you've given me, but one is, for me, no is the new yes. I have to say no to a whole bunch of stuff so that I can give a full yes to just really developing the course. I love my peeps. I like keeping things smaller. So I've told them, you know, I like doing a more intimate class. I like getting to know you. And the other thing is, I just want to tell marketers out there that bonuses set me up for failure.
Tell me more about that. What do you mean by that?
And I think when I offer my classes, maybe I'll give them extras, but not bonuses, because bonuses to me are seductive, but in the end, it's too much information. And instead of allowing me to just focus on the course that you gave me, now I'm tempted by all these extras. It's too much information. It actually prevents me from just keeping my eye on the course and just following through with those modules and completing the course. And it also sends me a message that this course isn't enough. I'm going to slam you with value. I have to give you more, 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 because this course is not enough. And I'm like, guys, I don't need more, more, more. There's too much as it is.
Mm-hmm. So this is a message from a student of several courses who has gone through, you know, several and has gotten experience across all different kinds, basically saying, hey, the bonuses are not actually helping as much as you might think they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, could actually stunt the growth of your students.
Speaking for myself, I have to say, yeah, that's what I've discovered. And feeling pressured as an entrepreneur to provide bonuses before I have them, I realized, but wait a minute, I don't even think bonuses are such a great thing. So I'm just throwing that in.
Yeah, no, I love that. I mean, that's why in my courses, when I launch them, I don't offer bonuses beyond access to me, which, you know, is going to go along with the course. I think if you do offer bonuses, they should absolutely be relevant in a way that enhances the course, not kind of takes people away from it. I've gotten courses where the bonuses actually make complete sense, and I'm very thankful they're there because they enhance my experience with the course, such as a quick start guide on how to use something or whatever. But I've also been pitched courses where it's like, hey, not only can you get this course, but you can get my other course that was launched last year and the course before that and all these videos that were from this presentation. And it's like, okay, I got a lot to cover now. And I'm very thankful that you mentioned that, because I think that is a very wise message to share with the people out there who are also, like you, creating courses now and, you know, in that same level. So, Amy, this has been an amazing and inspirational conversation. I had no idea where it was going to go, and you've already done a lot of the great work that I had expected to help you do already. So this is fantastic. I really look forward to following up with you and, you know, learning more about where this takes you.
Thank you so much, Pat. And the coaching part that you offer, that kind of bonus builds in accountability. And it makes it even more likely that I'll finish the course and succeed. So thanks so much for getting, you know, one-on-one in person with me. And now I feel even more accountable.
I'm going to hold you accountable to everything we talked about. And, you know, again, feel free to reach back out to me. I want to make sure that everything goes well for you.
Will do.
Thanks, Amy. All right, that was really fun. And again, Amy, thank you so much for allowing all of us to listen in on this. I know that's not always easy to do, but I think we can all agree that you got some great things going on. And for people out there who want to learn more about Amy and what she's up to, you can actually find her website at amytorres,
amitoreesacim.com. That's amitoreesacim.com. She also has a book on Amazon, like she mentioned, Sweet Dreams of Awakening, 365 Goodnight Blessings, and we'll link to that in the show notes as well. And of course, if you want to head on over to the blog and leave a comment and pick up the show notes, or read the transcript, share it, all you have to do is head on over to smartpassiveincome.com/session277. Again, smartpassiveincome.com/session277. And then finally, I want to address a question that might be on your mind, which is, how do I get selected to be one of your students and have this sort of open public forum, or have the coaching call be shared? Well, to tell you the truth, there's no sort of system to make that happen. Amy, I actually went back into the archives of my email. She's actually been following SPI since 2013. That was the first time we had email correspondence together. And she was also a student of my course. And so I got to know her and what she was up to very well. And of course, through that relationship, I wanted to do this. So it's not a thing that you can like sign up for. And honestly, if you want to get access to me, there's a few ways to do it in order for me to help you and answer your questions. You could go to askpat.com and you can be a part of that show. You can ask questions there and potentially get your question featured, which I feature a question from you and my answer 5 days a week. And then also Ask Pat Live, which is a live Q&A session. I can get through about 20 questions in about an hour and help you out there live on my Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/smartpassiveincome, that happens live every Friday, 1:30 p.m. Pacific, and that's for an hour. So check that out. Again, facebook.com/smartpassiveincome. And I make sure to give a lot of attention to the students of my courses. So I have a number of courses. You can find Smart from Scratch if you're just starting out. That's the course that Amy went through to help her validate her idea. Again, smartfromscratch.com. The enrollment period actually just ended, but you can sign up for the waitlist right now if you go to smartfromscratch.com. And there's also Power Up Podcasting at poweruppodcasting.com. We just finished that launch as well in July, and it's going very well with the brand new students in there. And I walk people through the exact step-by-step sequence of how to set up your podcast, but not just how to set it up too, because there's a lot of content out there that can help you set it up, but also how to market it, how to automate it, how to scale it, how to build your email list from your podcast, how to monetize your podcast, everything that you need to know that's going to help you keep it going for the long term. You know, I have 7+ years of podcasting experience. I've won multiple awards, and I want to make sure that you can get that message that you want heard to be heard. So if you want to check that out, sign up for the waitlist for that one at powerupodcasting.com. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all, and I look forward to serving you in next week's episode. Until then, keep on keeping on. Love you guys. Take care. See you in the next one. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Passive Income Podcast at www.smartpassiveincome.com.
Entrepreneurs, what is the smart way to save when your growing business takes you on the road? Whether you're going to events or conventions or you're speaking somewhere, no matter what it is, you need to sign up for a free membership with Hertz Business Rewards. Yep, Hertz Rental Car created a program to help small and mid-sized businesses save money. Work trips, client meetings, industry conferences. With Hertz Business Rewards, you save at least 20% every time you rent a car. And you'll save on more than just the daily rate. Members earn credits redeemable toward free rental days, and it's also free to add an additional driver if any additional coworkers come along. And for those Gen Z entrepreneurs out there, no young renter fees. Plus, sign up for Hertz Business Rewards today and earn 3x credit during your first 90 days. These benefits add up to big savings that stack more dollars in your wallet. Join for free at hertz.com/businessrewards. Applies to base rate, taxes, fees, and options excluded. Additional terms and exclusions apply. Visit hertz.com/businessrewards to learn more. Hey, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you're looking for a new podcast to add to your rotation, I highly recommend Problem Solvers, hosted by Jason Pfeiffer, who's been on the show a few times, actually. As you probably heard in the credits, both our shows are on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. On Problem Solvers, Entrepreneurs Editor-in-Chief tells the stories of real founders that solved real problems in their businesses, helping listeners get through any obstacles in their own ventures. And each episode is really distinct and easy to follow, and they're bite-sized too, usually around 15 to 20 minutes. And Jason pulls each story out himself so you can avoid the same crippling problems. Matt and I were recently on the show in episode 302, and Jason recently hosted a great episode on whether anyone can be too quote-unquote curious for a traditional career. Listen to Problem Solvers right now on Apple Podcasts, Google, Spotify, or Stitcher.